evening, everyone, and this is our weekly prayer meeting for, well, Friday nights, and just a couple of thoughts here to kick it off. Let's begin with a word of prayer before we say anything. Lord, we ask you to bless these thoughts. We thank you for your word that is eternal. It has always something to communicate to us. Today is no exception. We pray that these thoughts will be really used in our minds and our hearts to get to know you better, learn who you are, and really speak to us. It's good to be strengthened in grace, it says in the book of Hebrews, and that's what we want to be tonight. So bless these few thoughts and also our time of prayer in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, I just wanted to mention this thing. It's a passage in 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel 25. And it is King David. And I just give you the story a couple of minutes here, and then I read four or five verses. But I just need to give you the background because it's too long to read the whole chapter. And David was, of course, God's man. He was anointed to be king in Israel. But there was a period of struggle between him and King Saul. Saul is a picture of a carnal believer. You know, he was anointed to be king, but he never lived as, you know, he wasn't obedient to God. So his life ended not in a good way because he was constantly disobedient to God. But he was a believer. There are a couple of verses that actually says that, you know, he was a believer. So it wasn't really his lifestyle that determined that, because lifestyle will never determine whether we are Christians or not. Our faith in Jesus Christ determines that. But the point is that David was anointed to be king, but there was a time when he was actually out there and he was a shepherd. He was leading sheep in the wilderness. And there was this one time he had 400 men with him, I believe, or maybe more. Sorry, I may be referring to another story. But anyhow, he was out there with a lot of men. And there was a wealthy man. His name was Nabal. And Nabal had lots of livestock and sheep and different animals. And he was very wealthy. And he was in one place, and his shepherds, of course, back in those days and today also, there are dangers. I mean, there could be thieves and robbers, but also wild animals. But all of David's men, it says that they made like a circle around these shepherds, meaning that they were constantly protected by them. You know, they were men of war. So they had a very safe working place, these shepherds of Nabal. For a long time. And then there was a day when David had a need in his life. And he went, he said to his men, why don't you go to Nabal, you know, the boss of these shepherds that we've been with, we are good friends now, and we protected them all these year, all this time they were with us, and ask for, you know, a little bit of food just to sustain us. And he goes there, and Nabal is just really rude, you know, and he says, like, who are you? I mean, what? He knew who David was. I mean, he was known in that area. So there was no doubt about it. But he just willfully rejected him and said, I don't want anything to do. I'm not going to give you one thing. And he sent these men back empty-handed. And they came back. And David got so angry. He got so furious. So he told his men, he said, okay, get ready. In the morning, we're going to go. Get your swords. We're going to kill not only Nabal, but all his household, all the male. We're going to just deal with them. And they were on their way. But Nabal had a wife, and her name was Abigail. And Abigail, she was a wise woman and a very beautiful woman. She knew that her husband was a bad guy. So she actually was very wise. She took lots of food. She had some donkeys. She had some servants. She went and met David on his way to kill Abigail. And she came...
To kill not Abigail.
To kill Nabal. Not Abigail, sorry. Thank you for pointing it out. So what happens is that she meets him and she says, you know, please, my husband has acted foolishly, but listen to your servant. You know, I have these gifts for you. Please receive them. This is all that you need for you and your men. And leave him alone. You know, God will deal with him if there is something that needs to be dealt with. And David took her advice. And then read with me here, or listen to what I read here in 1 Samuel 25, verse 32 and down to 35. So 32 to 35. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you have hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal." So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person." So David listened to Abigail and he said, "I heeded your voice and I respected your person." So it was because of Abigail that David did not do this foolish thing. And in his reaction, just, you know, had been guilty of murdering, you know, probably dozens of people. And why am I saying all this? Because it's a story that blesses me, number one. But number two, this is kind of like a little testimony that I just put in here. But just recently, I was in a place where something happened. And I got really upset about something. And I thought, okay, I'm just gonna tell a certain person something. You know, I was right. I have no idea. You know, humanly speaking, or even before God, I have no idea. But the point is that I wanted to do that. But I knew deep inside that if I do that, I am going to cause damage. I'm going to cause other people to hurt as well. So it's not a good thing. And it was so interesting because right when I was kind of on my way to do that, God intervened and something happened, you know, a situation happened. And it was not a good situation. It was actually a kind of difficult situation. But in the situation, I just got so much grace from God. It was unbelievable. You know, it was amazing. So I had to deal with this situation. And doing so, I had so much grace. And by the time the situation was dealt with, my first thought about this other situation was gone. I was not really interested in correcting anything or changing anything or say anything. You know, I was just very happy the way it was. And it just came to my mind as it happened about Abigail. You know, how David, who was a man of God, but he just thought that this Nabal acted so foolishly that he had done all good things. And then he could not even just give him, you know, a little bit of food to sustain him in a certain situation. And he got so angry, like we all sometimes can be angry, you know, and react and whatever. And he was really on his way to do something bad. But God, in his mercy, sent Abigail to change the situation. And he said, "I heeded your voice and I respected your person." God can send a situation... a person and a situation. And in my case, it was not a person. It was more like a situation. But it was the Holy Spirit that just came in and really changed things around. And I was so happy about it. And I thought about this one thought that We actually shared it when we had a little time at McDonald's here a few days ago, and I think some of you were there, where it says that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say that nobody knows what is in God except Jesus Christ. And he has explained him. And actually, in the Greek, there is a word which it's where we get the Greek, the English word exegesis, which means to bring out the meaning of the text. If I exegete a text, I take the meaning of the text and I bring it out so that I can understand it. So it's the same thing with God the Son. When he came, nobody has seen God, but God became a man in Jesus Christ. So when he came, he exegeted the Father. He exegeted God, meaning that he brought out the meaning. This is who God is. Now you can see it in a human being walking among us. And then it says that grace and truth came through him. And it's so interesting because it says that in him we have received grace for grace. And what I really like there is that the Greek word for, you know, grace for grace, it's actually the word anti, which means instead of. Or, we use it usually like I'm anti-something, I'm against something. But it can also be instead of, meaning something that is replacing something else. And this is the chief meaning of the word, even though it can mean different things. But the main meaning of this word is actually instead of. So he's saying that what is he offering us? He's offering us grace instead of grace. So it means that if I reject his grace and I said, God, I don't want that thing in my life right now. You know, I'm going to go my own way and I'm going to deal with the situation just like David wanted or I wanted. But God sent Abigail into David's life. God sent a situation into my life so that I stopped and I had to refocus and so on. And then I said, okay, I don't want the grace of God for that situation. I'm going to do it my way. But then it's grace instead of grace. So it wasn't like, okay, if you don't want the grace here, what do I have to give you? Law? Legalism? Condemnation? Guilt? Something like that? No. Just more grace. So the only thing that can replace the grace of God is the grace of God. Because there is no other way that God can deal with us. Because he's full of grace. And I think that is an amazing story we read in 1 Samuel 25. I think it's an amazing testimony that I shared, at least from my own point of view, because I was blessed that. Because you know what? It's so interesting, and I'm closing with this thought, but you know, it takes so long to build up something, but it only takes a second or a minute to destroy it, you know, with our tongue, with our deeds, with whatever, you know. But God was so gracious. And I believe personally that the reason why I received this grace and God dealt so graciously in the situation was because of prayer. I just knew that somehow I felt, you know, our people are praying for me. So therefore, you know, somehow in this whole situation, the edges were smoothened a little bit. You know what I mean? You cut out the the edges so that I was able to deal with the situation. Yeah. So this is grace for grace, grace instead of grace. That's what we can expect from God when we walk with him. And there's always more grace for us, which is amazing. And it is the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness in Titus 2:11 and 12. So Lord, we thank you for these thoughts. Bless them to our hearts in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.